Are you excited to get into God's Word now? You're excited? I'm excited. All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and let's have our minds renewed by His Word. Matthew 6, if you are using one of the Bibles under the chairs, it is on page 811, Matthew 6. While you're turning there, let me recap. We're in a series called Kingdom Living. You see it on the screen. We're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. What we're doing is we're taking 9 months and unpacking this one sermon of Jesus that's recorded for us in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we've been looking at the question, what does it mean to be a part of Jesus' kingdom? And it's not just kind of an abstract kind of question, right? You're here, you're in church, you want to know, what does it take to be a part of His kingdom? And the answer that Jesus has given us so far has surprised us. It surprised the original audience 2,000 years ago, and it surprises us today. You say, well, why does it surprise us? Well, because of expectation, right? We would expect Jesus to stand up in His teaching and say, all right, there's two ways to live. One way is partying and carousing and adultery and wickedness and atheism, bad stuff like that. And the other way to live is My kingdom, and that's all about prayer and giving to church, and giving to the needy, and obeying the Ten Commandments. But that is not what Jesus says, right? Jesus does not say, try not to live bad, try to live a moral life. He doesn't say that. What has He said? Well, in chapter 5, Jesus said, you know what? You can actually obey the Ten Commandments and still miss out on the kingdom. And in chapter 6, Jesus has said, hey, you can fast, and you can give, and you can pray, and still miss out on the kingdom. And if we're honest, right, that kind of scares us a little bit, doesn't it? It should, right? Jesus' sermon is not to Paganville, but His message is to religious folks who think they're okay. And in this sermon, Jesus is warning us. He's saying many who think that they're in the kingdom are not. You say, well, how do I know who is in the kingdom? How did Jesus start off His message? What did He say? My kingdom is for those who are poor in spirit, who recognize that they're spiritually bankrupt, spiritually needy, that they need help. My kingdom is not built on a show of external actions in front of people, right? It's not about trying to obey enough, trying to give enough, trying to pray enough. It says My kingdom is built on the internal heart change before God. It changes everything about you, and your heart is made new. Recently, Jesus has said, those in My kingdom don't seek security and possessions. They don't look for satisfaction in material things. No, those in My kingdom have eternal values, eternal priorities. They don't serve money. They're not devoted to money. They serve God. They love God. They're devoted to God. And Jesus appealed to us last week, you cannot serve God and money. To be in My kingdom, you have to give up serving yourself, and you have to serve Me. To be in My kingdom, you must give up your kingdom and live for Mine. And when we give ourselves to Jesus, when we give ourselves to His kingdom, Jesus tells us, we have nothing to worry about. And that's my goal this morning as we look at this text, is to let those words sink into your soul. You have nothing to be anxious about. And Jesus will show us why in these verses this morning. Take a look. Stand, if you would, with me. We'll read through these verses. Matthew 6, we're going to start in verse 25 and go to the end of the chapter in verse 34. Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, we pray as we study your word this morning, that your word would be effective and powerful in our hearts. God, we confess that we are often anxious and worried and distracted about so many things. We often take our eyes off you and get caught up in living for our own kingdom. Help us by your Spirit this morning. Renew our hearts, strengthen our faith, grow our love for Jesus. God, help us not to worry because our trust is in you. Father, help me to speak. May my sin not hinder your glory from being on display. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In today's passage, Jesus speaks directly to the subject of anxiety or worry. I think there are few sins that we commit as often as we commit the sin of worry. Worry is so common, I think, because it infects so many areas of our life. We worry about all kinds of things. We worry about friends. Do I have any friends? Do they really like me? Are they just putting up with me? Do they talk about me behind my back? What do they really think of me? We worry about looks. Am I attractive? Do I look too old? Right, when you're young, you worry about acne. When you're old, you worry about wrinkles. And pounds, am I too big? How can I lose weight? What about my hair? Is it going gray? Am I going bald? Is it thinning? How do I dress? Is my style right? Does this match? Do people notice what I wear? We worry about health. Am I getting sick? I know people who have cancer. Maybe I'm going to get cancer. What's my medical history? What do people in my family have? Will a doctor be able to help me? My back is hurting. Is there something wrong with me? Will I need surgery? We worry about possessions. Is this car a lemon? Is it going to break down? How am I going to afford to fix it? Is my mechanic honest? And my house, where am I going to get money to pay for all the repairs? Will I be able to sell my house? Will it foreclose? Is my job secure? What will I do if I lose my job? Am I working enough? Am I working too much? When we're single, we worry about family. Will I ever be able to find a spouse? Am I undateable? Am I worth marrying? Will I be a good husband or a good wife? Will I have kids? Will I be able to have kids? And then you get a family, and then the worries what? Increase, right? Does my spouse still love me? Are they faithful to me? Do they love other things more than me? What about the kids? Are they okay? Do they watch too much TV? Is their diet bad? Should we eat only organic tofu? How are they doing in school? Are they smart enough? Do they have any friends? Who are their friends? Are they sneaking off and doing bad stuff? Do they love Jesus? Will they grow up and get a job? Will they get the right job? Will they go to college? How am I going to pay for college? How am I going to pay for a wedding? And we worry about retirement. Do I have enough to retire? What if I live to be 100? Will the money last? Will my family take care of me? What's going to happen to me when I die? And all of these worries don't really get at the kind of more common daily worries that we experience, right? Worried, will our alarm clock go off? Worried, will I make it to work on time? Worried, what our coworkers think of us? Worry about the pressures of our jobs? Worry about traffic and time and emails and phone calls and texts and people and problems? And that doesn't even take into account the biggest worry of all. In December, are we going to have Donald Trump as president? November. Let's be honest, we got a lot to worry about, right? And all of us have given into worry, right, from time to time. Some of us struggle with it more than others. And I was excited to study this passage myself because this is a big struggle for me. I struggle a lot with anxiety and worry, and Jesus has some help for us today. So before we jump into the text, let's get a definition out first. What is worry? If you have a bulletin, you want to follow along, you want to take some notes, there's a blank in there. What is worry? Here's a definition. To be distracted by or overwhelmed with the things of this world. To be distracted by or overwhelmed with the things of this world. Literally, this word in Matthew 6 for anxiety means divided mind. That's where we get the idea of distracted. Worried distraction comes when you're thinking about when you're doing one thing, but you're worrying about something else, right? You're trying to sleep, but you're worried about your garden. You're at work, but you're worried about your kids' grades, right? You're listening to a sermon, and you're worried about, where am I going to eat lunch, right? Worried distraction. Worry can also come from being overwhelmed with things, right? If it hasn't rained in a while and you're concerned about your garden, well, okay. But it shouldn't overwhelm you, right? It shouldn't dominate your thinking. It shouldn't stress you out. If your kids have bad grades, well, that's a concern. But it shouldn't overwhelm you. Now, obviously, when Christ says, do not worry, he's not saying, well, be careless, be lazy, be apathetic, be indifferent. Now, of course, that's not what he's saying. What he is saying is don't be distracted by, don't be overwhelmed with, don't dwell on the things of this life. Worry, also called anxiety or stress or concern, can dominate our thinking. We can start off our day with worry, can't we? We can wake up in the morning and first thing, anxious about the day. Who am I going to run into? Oh, I've got so much to do today. Am I going to be able to get it all done? Right? And you go to sleep with anxiety. Right? You replay the day back in your mind, or you start thinking about what do I got to worry about tomorrow? Worry can consume us. So why do we worry? That's the next question in your notes. Why do we worry? And I'm going to give you two wrong answers. You say, why are you going to give us the wrong answers? Well, because this is what most people think are the answers to the question, why do we worry? Wrong answer one, circumstances. The only reason I worry is because of the situation of my life. The thinking goes is, right, if I was able to get a job instead of being unemployed, well, then I wouldn't worry. If my wife would just get healthy and not be sick, well, then I wouldn't worry. If my circumstances could change, I would have no worries. Many people think that our worry problem is only because of our circumstances. And Jesus is going to tell us that's wrong. Worry isn't because of circumstances. Rather, worry starts here, in us, in the heart, not because of outside things that happen to us. A second wrong answer, why do we worry? Personality. Some people will think they worry just because it's their personality, right? I'm just a worrier. Some people whistle. Some people drum their pen. Some people are close talkers. I'm just a worrier. That's who I am. And Jesus says, wrong. That's not it. He says worry isn't a personality quirk. It's actually a sin. So you say, all right, well, what is the answer? Why do we worry? Well, the answer is because we're sinners. Jesus says that the problem is us. You don't worry because of circumstances or personality, but because of you. One reason we worry is because we're greedy. We learned this last week, right? We're greedy people, and we want stuff. And so when we might not get something that we want, and we're greedy for it, we worry about it. And so greed prompts our heart to worry. Another reason we worry is because we're idol worshipers. You say, oh, wait a second, I don't bow down to any statues or anything. Well, idolatry is treasuring something more than God, putting something before God. A worrier stores their treasure in the wrong place. Hear this, when what you most value can be taken away or destroyed, you are teed up for anxiety. For instance, if you treasure a relationship with someone more than anything else, well, guess what? You can lose it. Right? So worry can bubble up. Our idolatrous hearts prompt us to worry. A third reason we can worry is because we're proud. We pridefully think that we can control things when we cannot control things. And so we worry. Worry is all about control. Right? If I can just raise my kids just right, then I can control how they turn out. If I can manage my money in just the right way, I can control what my retirement will be. Worry assumes the possibility of control over the uncontrollable, and that's pride. To think that as humans we can control only what God can control. And so pride prompts our hearts to worry. A fourth reason we worry is because we don't believe God. It's unbelief. We don't trust God to take care of us. We lack faith. We don't believe he'll provide for us, and unbelief prompts our hearts to worry. And you say, all right, Dan, you've done a fantastic job of making me feel horrible about myself this morning. I'm greedy. I'm an idol worshiper. I'm prideful. I got unbelief. I'm a worrier. Give me some good news. Here's some good news for you. Worry is a sin. You say, wait a second. How is that good news? Well, it's good news because if worry is a sin, it can be forgiven. It can be repented of. And as Christians, we can walk in newness of life and live a life free of worry because Jesus is our hope. He has the cure. We can look to Jesus and find help. I want to add this too. Do you know what the most unhelpful cure for worry is? It's this. Stop it. Have you ever had someone say that to you when you're worrying about something? Stop it. Right? It's just so unhelpful. I heard two friends talking this week, and one was saying to the other this exact thing. They're like, I'm really stressed out at work. My boss is unhappy. It's kind of keeping me up at night because I'm anxious about what's going on there. And then what did the other friends say back? Well, stop it. Just stop worrying about that. And it's like, that is so unhelpful. I want to stop worrying about it. I would much rather fall asleep than be up anxious and worried about something. I can't help it. To not worry sometimes seems as impossible as not breathing. And in these verses, Jesus gives us more than stop it. He gives us 8 reasons not to worry. You have these in your notes if you want to fill in the blanks. 8 reasons not to worry. And by the way, if you're looking at the clock and you're like, 8 points, and he's got 18 minutes left, and you're starting to get anxious in your heart, I got a little word for you. Stop it, right? Stop it. Don't worry about it. We're actually going to take 2 weeks in this text. We're going to do verses 25 to 34 over 2 weeks. So we'll do a few of these points and then do the rest next week. So our worries are based on uncertainty, and Jesus gives us certainty in these 8 reasons not to worry. Number 1 comes from verse 25. Take a look. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Number 1, why shouldn't we worry? Isn't there more to life? Isn't there more to life? These notes are going to be rhetorical questions because that's what Jesus does in this passage, right? Did you look down? Look at verses 25 to 34. You see all those question marks in there? You can circle those or highlight those. Right? Jesus isn't giving a quiz. He's making a point. Worry consumes our thought life. So Jesus says, I'll give you some questions to think about. So that's how we're going to frame these notes as well, as rhetorical questions. So number 1 in your notes is, isn't there more to life? Life is about much more than food and clothing. Worrying about those things should be such a low priority for us. As people of Jesus' kingdom, our focus should be on his kingdom and his righteousness. So to be worried about those kinds of things makes our life so narrow and so small. To fret and worry about things like that suggests that our entire existence is focused on and limited to such small things. A great example of this is the story in Luke of Jesus and Martha and Mary. Do you know this story? Martha and Mary are sisters, and they invite Jesus over for a dinner party. He's going to be kind of the guest of honor. And Jesus comes into the house and kind of while everything's getting ready, and he starts teaching. And Martha is up doing what? Cleaning, making preparations, getting everything ready for the dinner. And what's Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And Martha's working hard and probably giving Mary some stares. And then finally she comes into the room in a huff, and she's like, Jesus, all right, enough's enough. Tell Mary to get up and start helping me. And what does Jesus say back? Martha, you are anxious. Same exact word as in Matthew 6. You're anxious and distracted about so many things. Mary has chosen the one thing that is necessary. It's Jesus saying, there's more to life than food and clothing and drink. Jesus is in your home, and you are not listening to him, not worshiping him. You are cleaning. You need to get your priorities straight. That's what Christ says to us. Don't worry about all the concerns of life first and foremost. Seek me first and foremost. Jesus is not forbidding that we care about essential things in life. He's just saying, don't worry about them. Don't chase after all of them. We must pursue our needs in a way that allows us to seek the kingdom of God first. We spend so much time, don't we, so much fuss, so much worry over the things in this life. We spend so much time, don't we, in front of the mirror, obsessing about our appearance, obsessing about how we look. We spend so much time shopping, right? Trying to add clothes to our wardrobe. Then we bring those clothes home, and what do we worry about? What are people going to think of me in these clothes, right? Jesus says, don't live for those things. Don't obsess over things that will not last. Don't be the 20-year-old who obsesses over beauty, only to find that as you get older, what? Beauty fades. Don't be the young person who's obsessed with sports, only to find out that as you get older, what? Your knees, hips, back, arms, right? All start to go. You obsess over a car, guess what? It's going to break down. Guaranteed to break down at some point. And the things we often obsess about don't even last. When I was in, I don't know what it was, maybe 8th or 9th grade, there was an obsession among teenagers with wide-legged jeans, specifically JNCO jeans. Does anybody remember this? We had 2 in first service. Anybody want to claim? Oh, wow, nice. 8. Excellent. Right? It was just this little narrow band of time, right? People were obsessed with them. Now, most of you don't even know what that is, right? Didn't last. Jesus says, you got to live for more than that stuff. You got to live for more than clothing and food and drink and houses and vacations and health. What he's really saying is this. He's saying, you only worry about what's important to you. You only worry about what's important to you, right? Most of us are not worried about whether people in Vancouver have water in their basement. Most of us are not worried about whether people in Mexico City recycle. Why not? It's not important to us, right? So we don't worry about it. You only worry about what's important to you. And Jesus is saying, the primary focus of greatest importance in our life should be seeking Jesus' kingdom, seeking his righteousness. Running around seeking after the things of this world should not be important, because life is too important to make secondary things primary. Use your energy to seek my kingdom first. Make that the priority. So number one, isn't there more to life? Number two is in verse 26. Take a look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Number two, reasons not to worry. Have you forgotten your Father? The second blank is Father. Have you forgotten your Father? Jesus tells us here that if God takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of us. Look, if God can take care of stray birds, which are not real high on the priority list, he will definitely make sure that you are taken care of. And some people hear this and they're like, oh, does that mean that like I don't have to work or get a job or save? Like, if God provides, do I just do nothing? The answer to that is no, right? Birds work. God feeds them by those means, right? They work. They're not lazy. They don't just sit in their nest and kind of have their mouths open waiting for worms from heaven to drop, right? But they also don't worry because God takes care of them. God provides food for them. And I love just how, isn't it great? Jesus is just the best teacher. He just makes it so simple for us. He's like, look at the birds. Did you get a chance to do that this week? What day was it? Like Tuesday or Wednesday? It was really nice out. It's like whatever you're doing inside, you just got to take 5 minutes and get outside because it was so nice this week. Jesus is saying, just go outside. Look at the birds. And when you look at the birds, be reminded of something. God takes care of them. God provides for them. And when you see those birds, remind yourself, God takes care of them. He's going to take care of me. God provides for them. He's going to provide for me. My wife is so great. God gave me a great girl. She doesn't worry much. Here comes the turn. But there, you know when she does worry? It's when I'm driving. And it really, why you're laughing like you know something, right? It really bothers me, you know? So we'll be driving somewhere, and she's in the passenger seat. We're going along just fine. And then what are we going to do? Just make a simple left turn. And what does she do? Right, left hand on the dash, right hand on that dry cleaning handle above the door. Like she's on a subway and there's no seat. It's like, what are you doing that for? Why does she do that? It's probably part reflex, right? And probably she's kind of worried about what the result of that turn is going to be. But what am I feeling when she does that? I'm feeling like she thinks I'm incompetent. Like I don't know what I'm doing. Like I'm not going to take good care of her. Now you might ride with me and sort of say, well, I think you're incompetent behind the wheel. But what's the point? The point is this. This is what worry looks like when we worry about things that are in God's control. When we worry about family and jobs and clothes and food and health, When we worry, we're boldly saying, God, I think you're incompetent. This is what's really happening. We're declaring to the world, I'm not worth much. I don't have a father who looks after me. I don't have a father who cares for me, who loves me, who provides for me. You're insulting the character of God. You're saying, I think God's incompetent. Or if he is competent, he doesn't love me very much. It's a really sad story I read this week about an Oklahoma couple who had a baby. Actually, at the time of the story, the baby was 3 years old. And maybe you heard this story. And, you know, when you have a little child, a little girl, like, you have to just bring kids to the doctor all the time. And as this child was brought to the doctor kind of growing up, doctors were concerned about her growth. Right? They were worried she wasn't growing properly. They were worried she was getting malnourished. She wasn't getting fed properly, really. And so what the doctors did is they sent authorities to the home of this child to sort of check up on her. And so authorities got there, and they found the little girl, 3 years old, weighing 14 pounds, and at the brink of death, near starvation. And in the house, they also found dad and mom. And dad and mom were each on a computer playing video games, and they had been for 12 hours in a row. So the authorities brought mom and dad and the baby to the hospital to try to save this girl's life. She ended up living. And after an hour at the hospital, dad and mom got back in their car, drove home, and got back on the computer to play video games. And so the cops went and arrested mom and dad. And they're like, what are you doing? Your daughter is dying in the hospital. And they're like, well, we were going to go check on her in the morning. And so they're arrested for child neglect. And when we worry, we're acting as if God is kind of like those parents, as if God isn't paying attention, as if God is neglecting us, as if he's distracted. God is not distracted. God has not neglected you. You say, well, how do you know? Look at the birds. Look at something as simple as birds and how they are cared for. You are so much more valuable than birds. So we should be confident of his provision. Your father loves you. Don't forget who your father is. God owns everything. God controls everything. God provides everything. He will never neglect you. He loves you. Recognizing that God is your father won't take away the problems from your life, but it will change your attitude from worry to trust, because your father is none other than God. Number 3 in verse 27, take a look. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Reason number 3, not to worry. Number 3, what does worry do? Number 3, what does worry do? This is so logical. Worry accomplishes nothing. It doesn't do anything. Maybe if worry did something, you could make an argument like, yeah, it's worthwhile. But worry has never done anything for anyone, ever. In fact, worry often has negative side effects. Worry can manifest itself physically and gnawing at your mind, ulcers, headaches, insomnia. Worry saps your energy, drains your joy, destroys spiritual vision, and aggravates physical ailments. And worry can be contagious. Did you know that? Well, of course you did, right? Haven't you been free and at peace and content with everything in the world, right? You wake up one day and you're just like, man, I am at ease with life. And it's beautiful outside. You walk out onto your porch and you're like, oh, what a beautiful day. And then what? Your neighbor calls to you, hey, have you heard about the string of burglaries in the neighborhood? Right? And boom, right? Saddled with worry. You were fine, now you're worried. Worry can't add length to your life. That's Jesus' point in the verse. Right? You never look back and you're like, man, I am glad I worried. Worrying about my job saved it. Worrying about my kids helped them turn out right. Worrying about my spouse really fueled their love for me. It doesn't work like that. On Sunday afternoons in the fall, Lauren and I like to watch Packer games. And by that I mean on Sunday afternoons in the fall, I like to watch Packer games. Sometimes when I'm watching the game, I get nervous. Do you get nervous? Anybody want to raise their hand, confess I get a little nervous during Packer games? You either don't like the Packers or you have way too much confidence in this team. So I get a little nervous, right? You just kind of like, and during the playoff game back in January, I'm nervous. Like, oh, that's going to happen, right? Is defense going to turn into a sieve? Is Lacey going to fumble? Right? And so I'm kind of anxious at one point in the game, and I look over at Lauren, and what's she doing? She's taking a nap. I'm engaged in the game, worried about the result, and Lauren's asleep. Question, which one of us affects the game more, me or Lauren? Answer, neither, right? Worrying about the game doesn't affect the game. It does nothing. And that's Jesus' point. Worrying does nothing. We think we gradually get this perspective as we get older. But I think, to be honest, we don't often learn from it, right? What are some of the worries that you had when you were younger? These are some of the worries we have in youth group, right? Worried, am I going to pass my driver's test? I'm worried, is anyone going to ask me to prom? I'm worried, am I going to get into college? Right? And then you get a little older, and you realize, oh, man, it was kind of silly of me to be worrying about that stuff. And so we're more than happy to tell younger people, our kids, oh, don't worry about that stuff. That's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. But then what do we do with our worries? We worry about them, right? We just exchange the problems, right? Now we're worried about different things. We're worried about, oh, will I lose my job? Will I be able to pay my bills? I don't think we often learn from the perspective that God gives us. And Jesus says, worrying doesn't do anything. You cannot make someone believe the gospel. Worrying about it does not help. You cannot sit by the crib all night to make sure that your child stays alive. Worrying about it will not help. You cannot add years to your life by worrying, so don't obsess about it. Remind yourself of what Jesus says. What does worry accomplish? And get his perspective. All right, this will be our last one. Number 4 comes from verses 28 to 30. Number 4, why not to worry? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Number 4, why not to worry? Don't you have eternity? Number 4, the blank is eternity. Don't you have eternity? Jesus gently reminds us not to be anxious because we will live forever. Let me explain how Jesus gets there. What's the first thing he says in verse 28? What does he say? Consider. Think about. Ponder. Meditate on. Did you know this? Worry is sinful meditation. Worrying sinful meditation. Rather than dwelling on truth and thinking about truth and letting that sink into your feelings or your emotions, worry dwells on the uncertain, on the fear. It's a lack of faith. And then that sinks into our feelings. And God says the way out of worry is to consider, to meditate, to dwell on what is true about God. He says, consider the flowers. Right? They don't work to be beautiful. They don't spin yarn, however that turns into clothing. They don't do that. Even the best-dressed man in Israel's history, Solomon, didn't look as good as flowers. God says, I can take care of flowers. I can take care of birds. I can take care of grass, he says in 30, and I'll take care of you. Right? He throws grass in verse 30 and says that grass is thrown into the oven, which confused me when I first read it. I don't know much about ovens. I know you put frozen pizzas in there to cook. That's really all I know. So I was like, why would anybody put grass in an oven? And so I looked it up, and it's because thrown into the oven really means thrown into the fire to heat the oven, because that's how ovens were heated in that day, right? Grass is so worthless, right? It's good, and then it dies, and then, right, you just kind of burn it up. Jesus says, if I can clothe insignificant things, which live for a couple days and then die, I'll take care of you. We can be confident God will care for us, because we don't live for a few days, we live for eternity. Grass is temporary, we will live forever. I don't know anybody who's obsessed with grass and shrubs and flowers, right? You don't know anybody who saves their grass clippings and just kind of puts it in a big pile in their garage because they're like, oh yeah, grass, look at all this grass I saved, right? You know anybody in the fall who's just driving around to piles of leaves at the curb and they're like shoving them in their trunk, oh man, look at all these leaves I'm going to be able to save, right? Do people have boxes of flowers in their basement, right? Dead flowers, right? No, nobody would ever do that, right? You wouldn't cling to things that are so temporary, things that are so insignificant. And yet as Christians, we often lose focus on living for Christ's kingdom. And we worry about storing up treasures here, right? We have closets overstuffed with clothes. We need walk-in closets. We need multiple walk-in closets, right? We have basements just so we can have a place to put all of our stuff. Haven't you had to clean out the house of somebody who's passed away? And as you clean out that house, you're like, there is so much stuff. We need to rent like a full-size dumpster just to get rid of all this stuff. And Jesus is saying, man, don't cling on to that stuff. Don't obsess over that stuff. Don't make that the priority of your life. All that stuff, grass, flowers, cars, clothes, possessions, they are temporary and they will not last. They're here today and gone tomorrow. But Jesus says, you, oh dear, beloved child of God, you will live forever. If you're in my kingdom, you have no need to worry. I will take care of everything. Store up treasures in my kingdom. Serve God, not money. Don't worry about the things here. You will live forever, so live for me. We need to get an eternal perspective on worry. You worried about food? How about dining with Christ at the wedding reception in heaven? You worried about clothes? How about being dressed in God's glory for all eternity? You worry about health? How about God giving you a glorified and perfect body for forever? How about a little cash? How about God makes you an heir of all things? You worried somebody may not like you? How about God filling you with the fullness of his love in paradise? You worried about dying? How about God promising to raise you from the dead and give you eternal life? Your eternal reward cannot be lost. Homes can start on fire. Kids can die. Investments can be lost. Possessions can be stolen. All of these things happened to Job on the same day. If your hope is here, you ought to worry because it may go. It's like God tells us, look, I know how much you guys like to own things, how much you worry about all the stuff down here. So how about this? How about I just go ahead and give you everything? I'm not going to give it to you now because you're going to die and not be able to take it with you, right? You're going to lose it. Moths are going to come in. Rust is going to come in. They're going to destroy it. Thieves, they're going to break in and steal it. So I'll save it for eternity. I'll keep it secure with me. Just spend your life living for me. Live for my kingdom. Live for my righteousness. Don't be anxious and distracted and caught up in stuff here. Trust my eternal promise to you is indestructible. You say, all right, man, that sounds good. I do worry a lot. I need that eternal perspective. How do I get it? Well, Jesus says at the end of verse 30, did you see it? Oh, you of little faith. He says, if you lack this perspective, it's because you lack faith. Jesus uses this phrase, oh, you of little faith, several times during his time on earth. And did you know this? Every time he says it, it's in relation to food or drink or span of life. Every time, usually it's the disciples are worried about something, and Jesus says, trust me, believe in me. Worry shows we're mastered by circumstances instead of God's word. Worry shows that we lack faith. And so you're like, all right, unhelpful. Tell me how. How do I get this faith? Well, usually when we worry, what do? We're tempted to sort of ignore the problems in our life. So you're worried about all kinds of things, whatever it is. You're worried about work. You're worried about people. You're worried about this and that. So you've got all these worries in your life, and you're like, all right, what do I need to do? I just sort of need to shut my brain off. I need to sort of distract myself. I need to get away from those worries and sort of let my brain go numb. And so it's like, all right, let me turn on the TV. Let me do my hobby. Let me get on my smartphone. Let me just get some kind of distraction and let my mind just sort of go blank. And that way I won't worry. How's that going for you? You really fix that worry thing? Jesus says, instead of numbing your mind, trying to distract yourself, or instead of worrying and obsessing about things that are just so uncertain, fix your mind on what is certain. Faith is not nice thoughts in your head. Faith is not, I don't have any problems in my life. Faith is fixing your mind on what is certain. Look at the birds and believe. Look at the flowers and believe. Look into his word and believe. Fix your mind on what is certain and believe. Believe that he will never leave you or forsake you. Believe that his grace is sufficient for you. Believe that he loves to give good gifts to his children who ask. Believe that if God is for you, who can be against you? Believe that if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Believe. Fix your mind on what is certain. Jesus says, those in my kingdom have nothing to worry about. They have no need to be anxious. I have taken care of them, and now they seek first my kingdom. They seek my righteousness. They live for me. Queen Elizabeth the First, back in the days of exploration, talked to a guy in England. And he said, hey, she said, we need you on this voyage. We need you to sail for England, to explore the New World, to go on this trip for us. This trip will not be a success for us unless you go to the New World. And the man replied back to the queen, well, I can't do that. I can't go. I've got a small business, and if I go for that long a time, the business will fold. I'll lose everything. And the queen said to him, dear friend, you mind my business, and I'll mind your business. And all the fear left him. Here's the queen, with all the wealth, all the power. If I mind her business, she will take care of me. What a deal. Christians, we have such a great deal. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, and you will have no need to worry. Father, help us not to worry. Help us to put our faith in you. God, you promise us that in this life we will have trouble. We will have problems. We will have worries. But you give us great reasons not to worry. So help us fix our gaze on what you tell us is certain. In Jesus' name, amen.